Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. In the spirit of Halloween, I'm going to be discussing with you two haunted properties here in the United States. Now, if you're already an enthusiast, then chances are you are well-versed in the two properties I'm going to be discussing today, or you've gone yourself. If so, I would love to hear your stories. Let's first discuss the Jerome Grand Hotel in Jerome, Arizona. The Jerome Grand Hotel opened in 1926 or 1927 as United Verde Hospital. Jerome, it was a copper mining town until about 1953. It's a very beautiful town if you haven't been and you plan to do one of these travels across America or go to the Grand Canyon or just travel across Arizona, I highly recommend you go to Jerome. The town is just beautiful. It is believed that more than 9,000 people died at this United Verde Hospital. It's a lot of people, right? And the hospital closed in 1950, so opened from 1926, 1927 to 1950. It was purchased and reopened as the Jerome Grand Hotel in 1996. Since it opened in 1996, there's been a lot of suspicious, mysterious activity. Many guests have reported ghosts, strange sounds, and these unexplained orbs of light, amongst many other experiences. Guests have stayed at the hotel and reported hearing coughing, labored breathing, and even voices coming from empty rooms. Guests have also reported smells coming from rooms such as flowers, dust, cigar smoke, and even whiskey. Other guests have reported the televisions turning themselves on. Many guests and even hotel staff have heard and see what appears to be a 4 or 5 year old child running down the hallway on the third floor. On April 3rd, 1935, Claude Harvey, he was the hospital's maintenance man, he was found dead and he was pinned beneath the Otis elevator, presumably murdered. Guests claimed to see Claude roaming the stairwells and the boiler room as though he's still at work. In addition to all of this, other guests have reported seeing the apparition of two ladies, one in a white gown and another in a nurse's outfit, as well as someone who appears to be a doctor or a nurse in a long lab coat carrying a clipboard. And just to tell you guys, you can definitely look online at the website for the Jerome Grand Hotel to see some of the photos that have been captured at this hotel. It is really quite haunted and phenomenal. If you ever go to the Jerome Hotel and you begin to check in, you will see that there are a ton of guest books in the lobby where guests can document their experiences during their stay. Most of the activity that occurs at the Jerome Grand Hotel, it comes from the third floor. Most of the deaths that occurred were in the operating room when the hospital was around, and the operating rooms were on the third floor. A number of people have also reported hearing the sound of a hospital gurney across the floor in the hallways. The room that receives the most comments is number 32. It's a formal hospital guest room with a balcony, and it's also the site of two possible suicides. One former miner who was confined to a wheelchair reportedly climbed over the balcony railing to his death, and also a businessman shot himself there. If you're wondering if this hotel was ever featured on TV at all, it was. It was on Ghost Adventures. And if you ever watched the episode, which I did not, many of the experiences, such as the door slamming, voices calling out into the dark, all of this was captured during that episode. Back in 2007, I had the luxury of going to this hotel myself with my sister. I had no idea it was haunted, but I should have guessed because my sister loves to stay in very haunted places. So I was really unaware. I think if I knew in advance, I definitely would not have stayed there because it's not really my thing. It was quite an experience. Once you arrive to the Jerome Grand Hotel, you can definitely tell it was a previous hospital, just the way the building looks. Now, when we got there, as I said earlier, when we checked in, we did see a large number of guest books. And when you're checking in, the hotel staff will tell you, you know, at the very end of your visit, it's preferable if you write down your experiences so that, you know, you can share them with the next people who decide to go and stay in the room that you're going to stay in. So I didn't read any of the experiences beforehand. I just wanted to see if anything would happen. I didn't know, again, it was as haunted as it was. Now, while you stay there, I don't know if they still offer this, but I imagine that they do. At the time, they did offer ghost tours, and you can try to capture, I think it's EVP, electronic voice phenomena. So we did this on the third floor, and I think actually the fourth floor as well, where there were a lot of hauntings, a lot of sightings. It was definitely an adventure. Now, in the evening hours, my sister was asleep, and you know, she asked me to stay awake with her, so we could go down the hall at 2 or 3 in the morning, but of course she fell asleep and I could not sleep. So I was quite annoyed. Unfortunately for me, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, I could hear voices in the next room. However, I remembered that the hotel staff told us that there was nobody on that floor. There was hardly any guests when we were staying there. So that really creeped me out and I was unhappy. I could also hear the piano playing up, and I believe it was the floor above us, which I did not like. Talk about getting stressed out and frustrated. Needless to say, I really did not sleep at all the entire evening. In the morning, I told my sister about these experiences, and then we had to get ready to go because we had to drive all the way back to Phoenix. She was in the shower, and I was at that time doing my hair. And as I was curling my hair, the closet door opened by itself all the way. And I thought that was it for me. It was time to go home. It scared me. I couldn't believe it. Super creepy. So yes, I will say if you want to go to a place, if you like haunted properties, you're an enthusiast, I highly recommend going to the Jerome Hotel. I have not been back, but the city itself, the cute town is, I really enjoyed it there. The story is not finished, you guys. So as we were leaving the hotel, I definitely wrote down my experiences so the next person could read them. But when we get in the car to drive all the way back to Phoenix, my sister plugs in her phone into the car. And I didn't understand why she was doing that until she told me, hey, by the way, I decided to turn on recordings, audio recordings in the room while we weren't there. So I had no idea that she had done that. And needless to say, there were quite a few disturbances happening in our room while we were not there. On the recording, we heard our room door open and close. Now, I assume it was the front door, but it could have been the closet door or the bathroom door. There were many drawers that were slamming in the room, opening and closing. However, the best part was a conversation that we heard on the recording between a doctor and a nurse discussing a patient's health. It was quite unbelievable to me. I think we were both super shocked about it, but also I knew I was ready to go. So very interesting, surprising experiences coming from the Jerome Grand Hotel. You're guaranteed to have an experience. I've had other nieces stay there for their birthdays, with my sister, and they've also had quite a few haunting experiences. So Jerome Grand Hotel, definitely a lot of energy and activity there. Now I want to switch gears and talk to you about another property, which is the Myrtles Plantation. I have a feeling many of you know about this plantation. You've heard of it, or you've been yourself. The Myrtles Plantation is located in St. Francisville, Louisiana. The house was built in the early 1800s. And this is considered to be one of the most haunted properties in the United States. Now, there are multiple owners of this property during the 19th and the 20th century. The hauntings, however, they're mainly attributed to the second round of owners. So the second round of owners are Sarah and Clark Woodruff. Now, Sarah and Clark had three children. While they lived on this plantation, they owned a slave by the name of Chloe. And it is Chloe who is said to mainly haunt this plantation. There are a couple of stories as to why Chloe might be haunting the plantation. It was interesting to do this research and get people's perspectives. So I'm gonna give you my perspective just based off of what I read. So one of the reasons as to why she might be seen on this property still is because she ended up having sexual relations with her slave master, or in other words, her slave master had been raping her, number one. Number two, the children were getting a lot older and she wasn't going to be needed any longer to, you know, care for them. So she thought that she was going to be dismissed or something was going to happen to her, right? So that all of this, or either or, was the impetus for what she ended up doing to the family. However, there was one other thing that happened to Chloe as a slave under Sarah and Clark. Chloe was caught eavesdropping on Clark and Sarah one day, and as punishment, her ear was removed. She ended up wearing a green turban to hide the scar. And it is very common for people today who visit the plantation to see this woman with a green turban. Chloe decided to bake a cake for one of the children's birthday. However, she decided to bake it with oleander. Oleander is poisonous, if you didn't know, and someone actually has to eat the flowers or chew the leaves or the stems of the oleander plant to get sick and die. It is said that Chloe only wanted to make the children and the mom sick so that they would still need her. And then when she was there to help them recover, they would be grateful for her. Another version of this story says that she did this for revenge, which, again, it could be for any of these reasons, especially if she's being assaulted by her slave owner. Maybe she wants to poison the children as an act of revenge. Now, it was only Sarah and two of her children that ate the cake and actually died from the poison. Clark and his daughter, they didn't eat the cake at all. After Sarah and her two children passed away, other slaves on the property actually took Chloe themselves, and they did hang her, and they placed her in the Mississippi River. So going back to Sarah and her two children, during the time when they passed away, it was custom for mirrors in the house to be covered after someone died, and people did this so that the spirit would not get trapped. However, in this case on the Myrtles Plantation, all of the mirrors in the home, they were covered except one. It is said that the uncovered mirror reportedly trapped the spirits of Sarah and her children after they died. And supposedly it's these spirits that are occasionally seen, or they leave handprints on the mirror in the house. Many people who have gone to this plantation, they claim to see a ghost wearing a turban. Most people think that it's Chloe. However, I have to tell you, there is no record that Chloe ever existed. There, of course, are detailed records from that time with a list of the slaves, but there is no Chloe and not even a similar name. However, that's not surprising in my book because I know that most slave owners didn't necessarily write down the names of the slaves. They would write down their gender and their age. That was very common. Since the 1950s, there have been a number of reports of mysterious occurrences on the property. Owners and many guests, they've reported hearing random footsteps on the stairs. The lights are turning on and off. They hear cries from children. The doorknobs rattle. Many people have encountered an apparition of a lady with a green turban. And many guests have reported being woken up by that same lady. Sometimes the piano plays itself, and again, the staff has witnessed a ton of spirits in the house. I went to myrtlesplantation.com to get more information about this plantation because I was curious to see if there were any images captured of Chloe or any of the children or Sarah herself. So I found a story and about one of the images that was captured. So in 1992, the Myrtles Plantation had to take a photograph for insurance purposes, for fire insurance purposes. And the insurance company requested a photo of the plantation, but they requested it without any people in the photo. There had to be no people. So the Myrtles Plantation owners got a rejection letter from the insurance company because they said, again, you need to send us photos of the property as is with no people. If you take a look at the picture of the buildings, there is clearly an image of this apparition with the turban who is said to be Chloe. It is quite interesting. I believe there are more images online that you can see where she's captured on the property. I don't know if this property is open today for guests. I think it is actually. So if you're interested in going to have your own experience, I'm sure you can. But of course, all of this, thinking about places that are clearly super haunted and that have a lot of activity, they cause me to wonder why certain spirits, you know, become attached to a specific place. This is a question I think we ask many times. But I did some research, and apparently there are a few reasons as to why people think certain spirits become attached to a place. Number one, if that spirit died, or if that person died as a result of a traumatic event or murder, chances are that maybe their energy is still tied to that place. Number two, if that person has unfinished business, they may still be attached to the site. If the spirit died suddenly and didn't realize that he or she died, their spirit still might be at that place. I also read that if the spirit cannot rest due to some sort of injustice done to them, they may still remain at that place, that location. Also, one that I've found very frequently, if that person has a fear of moving on to the other side, whether it's fear of the afterlife, fear of judgment, then they may remain where they are. I personally don't know the answers to a lot of these questions, but I am very curious, especially having stayed at the Jerome Hotel where there is clearly a lot of activity. I really wonder what's going on, quote unquote, behind the scenes, and why we still hear voices while there's still all of this activity, as if it's still that time and place where people are, quote unquote, living. Very curious to me, but I don't have all the answers. I'm just a human being like everybody else, having crazy experiences on this planet Earth. Anyway, again, if you're interested in any of these properties, I can link them in the show notes. You guys, thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode, and I really hope you have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.